issue is that God clothes the grass of the field, and He will just, He will clothe you. The reason why we worry, according to verse 30, is what? Why do we worry? Because we have such little what?
Faith.
We don't really believe God has the power to do what He says He's going to do. That's the issue. We don't really believe in the power of God.
Yeah.
Right? So He says, do not worry about all these things. Verse 32, because who? The pagans run after all these things. Who are pagans? People who don't know God. People, straight up idol worshippers. So if we're running after food, drink, wear, basically the world more than God, who are we?
Pagans.
You gotta let that sink in right there. Right? But what's the good news? God knows what?
What we need.
Yeah.
Right? And He says here, but seek second His kingdom and His righteousness, right? That's what it says. Wait, honestly. Seek first His kingdom. Now, here's what I do with this. I say, you know what? His kingdom, well, His people. I don't go any further than that. And His righteousness, right? Because what does righteousness mean? What's it right according to who?
God.
To God. So if I'm seeking what's right according to God, and I'm getting people in my life who can help me, right? Then, guess what? All these things will be given to you as well. And you can even share about the power of God and how people have helped you.
Mm-hmm.
How God's word has helped you. Mm-hmm. I always share the story, I don't have time to share it tonight, about the time where I gave up this scholarship to go to this internship program where I think I might have mentioned it here before,
right?
I gave up something that literally was, they would have given me 5,000 US. I said, nope. Instead, I stayed with the brothers. This is after I became a new Christian. I gave up this internship that would have given me 5,000 US for the summer, all expenses paid, right? Because I knew there was no church where this internship was. This is after I was a baby Christian. And I said, you know what? I'd rather give up the 5,000, give up the internship that would have probably guaranteed me getting into graduate school, because I cared more about spending, being with the church here and growing in my faith.
Amen.
And to this day, people are like, what? You did that? What? But I didn't tell you the best part. The best part is that summer, when I got ready for my senior year, I got a receipt in the mail, you've now granted a half scholarship for graduate school, 35,000 US.
Wow.
So what did I get? I got everything. I got strong as a disciple, built great friendships, 35,000. God's like, Satan tried to bribe you for five. Here's 35.
Wow.
That's the power of God. You share that, but... Because you see, seeking God, it's easy to seek God when it's easy.
Yeah.
It's when it's hard to seek God. I appreciate, that's why I appreciate the Eddie so much. It would have been very easy for them to stay in Abuja.
Mm-hmm.
You can clap it up for them. It would have been very easy. It's nice and comfortable here. No, I'm going to drive. They didn't fly because the Abuja airport was closed. They have to drive all the way down. Why? Because they wanted to be with the King of the
people. Amen.
And get closer to the Lord.
Amen.
See, we worry when we don't believe that God has the power to do what He says He's going to do. What are the testimonies in your life that you're going to share with the Ajabolas of the world to show them the power of God and help them to seek God with all their heart? So, getting back, time in. Ajabola, so what do you see here? Is this what you want to do? You want to seek God with all your heart? Well, after hearing that story, Andrew, I want to. If God can do that for you, then you know what? Maybe He can do that for me too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't put my faith in Jabola in my story. I want you to put your faith in God and His word.
Amen.
Amen? Now, what's interesting next, Jabola, is the fact that God really does have the power that we're talking about right here. Actually, the reason why you're sitting down with me is because of God's power. Turn over to Acts 17.
Amen.
You see how I'm, the transition here. I'm helping him go from Psalms 119 to Matthew 6 about, okay, we see the power of God, and now here's an example of the power of God, Acts 17, right? So now in Acts 17, by this time, his faith is growing. He's starting to learn more about you, right? And here in Acts 17, verse 26 to 28, we're going to have another verse to read, right? Acts 17, verse 26 to 28. Let's have Brother Paul read this one for us.
Yes. All right.
Don't worry, I'm going to get women in it too, because I'm going to change it. Don't worry, it's coming.
From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them, and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring.
Fantastic. Okay, Ajibola, so what do you see here now?
Well, I think I see what you mean about the power of God, because it says here, he determined the times of them, the exact places where they should live. So, do you mean that God actually is in control of our lives?
Yes, absolutely. He's in control of our lives. You know, before I met you, Ajibola, I was praying to meet someone that would study the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then I saw you sitting at that lunch table, and I said, you know what? I'm going to come to you. God really put it on my heart to come to you to sit down and build a friendship to get to know you. And now, you're sitting down here with me today. Do you understand that? I totally believe that God determined that. Like, the reason we're sitting here together right now is not a coincidence. It is of God.
That's right.
When I got met and studied the Bible, I was in a lunch line. And a girl came, caught in front of me in line, and invited me out to church. Funny enough, this girl didn't even go to the college that I was in. She had just got accepted, come in as a third year, had just moved when a new preacher had come to take over the church in Syracuse, New York. And she just came, cut in front of me in line by accident, and invited me out to church. And I became one of the brothers who got baptized, and now I'm an evangelist in God's kingdom today.
Amen.
God sets the time and places. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Share stories. Inspire him. Mm-hmm. Guys, this is very important. And the key thing here is that, why does God do this, Ajibola? And again, you notice how I'm asking the questions? It can be very easy to just kind of keep going.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Let them answer the questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Like, I'm talking more now because I'm showing you how to teach the study. But normally, so what do you see here? Just give them time. If you don't answer, just wait.
Mm-hmm.
Give them time. Don't put it in them. Let them study it for themselves and get something out of it.
Yeah.
You with me here?
Right.
Okay, so now he says, it says here that God sets this up so that men would seek him, perhaps. Perhaps. You know, this is interesting. Pastor Andrew, I see something here. You mean that God sets things up even though there's no guarantee that we'll come to him?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great point, Ajibola. God loves you so much, he will set up the opportunity for you to get a chance to meet him, even though there's no guarantee you'll do it.
Mm.
You have free will to do what you want to do, but God still sets it up for you to take the opportunity. Right? This is the opportunity you're taking today. That's why I'm so grateful to be able to study the Bible with you. See how you encourage him right there?
Yeah.
Right? And so, it says here, the Bible says, he's not far from us, right? The key thing here is that now we got to make the most of this opportunity. And when you go after your relationship with God, you know what happens next here? Not only are you going after a relationship with God, but guess what? God's going after you. Take a look over in John chapter 4. You'll see here in John chapter 4, now, again, we're moving because we're in regards to time. The seeking God study could take 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Max an hour. I mean, sometimes if you need to go longer, you can go longer to draw people out. But you don't want to stay too long. You want to keep moving.
Yeah.
Right? Now, as I said, it's not true for everybody. Some people, you need to draw them out more.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you don't draw them out, then you're just giving them information. The purpose of a Bible study is not information, it's transfer of heart.
Yes,
yeah.
Amen.
Let me say that again. The purpose of a Bible study is not just giving people information.
That's right.
The purpose of a Bible study is to transform their heart.
Yes.
If you're not transforming their heart, then you're just giving them information.
Yeah.
Okay, so here in John chapter 4, what's interesting here is that the same time that you're seeking God, Ajibola, guess what? God's doing the same thing. Okay, it's my turn to read right now. Okay, it's my turn. Okay. John 4, verse 23.
Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is what? What do you see here, Archibald? God is seeking people that have the right spirit and going after the truth. Wow, okay. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Wow. Okay, so what do you see now, Archibald? Well, you know, this is interesting. The Bible says true worshipers. Aren't all worshipers true? You know, it's funny. I'm glad you said that, Archibald. Now, according to the Bible says true worshipers, which means what must there also be?
False.
There must also be false worshipers. No, 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 Pastor Andrew, no, no. Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge who's a false worshiper or true worshiper? Let's let the Bible speak for itself. Because the Bible does say that if you claim to be a Christian, you have to be judged.
Yep.
1 Corinthians 5.
Yeah.
So, it says here, true worshipers will worship the Father what? In spirit and in truth. Okay, let's examine that. In spirit and in truth. What does that mean? Well, let me give you an example. Have you ever been to a football game?
Yes.
Have I been to a football game? Pastor Andrew, you do not know. I am an Arsenal fan.
Come on.
Of course, I am. So Balaji loves him immediately. Now, I'm an Arsenal fan, and I watch all their games. I make sure I'm there for their games. Really? That sounds like you're seeking Arsenal with all of your heart. I see what you're doing, Pastor Andrew. I see what you're doing. Yes. Now, you talk about football, right? But the truth of it is, it says here, imagine if you were playing, and you're watching the game, and Arsenal scores against Man United. Right? If Arsenal scores against Man United, and everybody in Arsenal, woo, and they just start going crazy, right? Go! And they start going, and you're like, oh. Would you say that your spirit is into it?
No.
Right? Now, let me ask you a question. If people, I've heard a commercial even says, for a lot of people in the world, sports is their form of worship.
Yeah.
Wow.
They are religious, they give their whole heart to it, they're in it, they wear clothes, they clothe themselves in it. They identify themselves with it.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, I have to ask you, right? Is that your spirit before God?
Mm-hmm.
When you're in church, are you, songs!
Gonna lay down my burdens down by Riverside. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus.
Honestly, sometimes I'm gonna get a video camera, I'm telling you. I warned you. I want you to see, for one of these midweeks, before God, I'm going to do it. You are going to see how you look on Sunday mornings. You're going to see for yourself. How you sing. How you worship. Right? When we all... Jesus will sing and shout the victory. Or, you're singing the songs and you're ready. We need to worship God in spirit. We need to give him our whole heart. And we need to worship him what? In truth. Now, what's interesting, imagine if you're watching this game, Arsenal, and, you know, the football you're playing. But then they realize, oh my gosh, when the guy kicked it and scored for Arsenal, he was offsides.
Oh.
If he's offsides, what does that mean?
No goal.
There's no goal.
Nullified.
It's nullified. So what if you're like, woo, yeah, Arsenal, he scores. And then the ref is like, no, 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 he's offside. But he, woo, yeah, yeah. Uh-uh. Would you still?
What
But you see, sadly, a lot of people are not listening with their head. They're using their minds. For a lot of people, when it comes to church, they want to sing. And they're all singing. But when the time comes to hear the word of God, right? Go repent. Right? So, oh yes! Right? Communion! Prepare your heart before the Lord. Right? Communion! Contribution! Is foolishness. Yes. That, oh, I love the choir. Oh, I love this, I love that about it. Even though the preaching is total false doctrine. Yeah. They're not worshiping God in spirit mm-hmm. and in truth.
Yes.
And so for you, Ajibola, is that what you're ready to do? Come on. Because this is the kind of worshipers the Father is seeking. God's not looking for churchgoers. He's looking for people who desire the truth.
Amen. Yes, that's right.
With all their hearts
Amen.
And their minds.
Yes.
Right?
They are.
God is spirit, and his worshipers what? Must worship in spirit and truth. Let me tell you, when we're worshiping on Sunday, the angels and God are rejoicing.
Amen.
But you're there like this. You know, it's funny, I remember one time I was preaching the word, and I saw one person like this. And I was like, are they constipated? Is something wrong? I mean, I'm giving grace and truth. The Bible says, you better worship in spirit and truth. So this Sunday, I expect this church to worship in spirit and truth. So Ajibola, are you ready to worship God in spirit and truth? With your heart and with your mind. Because that's what you're going to see when you come to church this Sunday. And challenge. Say, bro, I want you. Do you ever visit other churches? Yeah, once in a while, why not? Okay, I want you to encourage you. Come to our church this Sunday. See if we're worshiping God in spirit and truth. You see what I'm doing right there? By just studying the Bible now, what am I doing? I'm inviting him to come and see for himself. Come and see. Come and see if we're living this. Right? And so now, this is interesting, because when you study this here, see John 4, 23 and 24, now the question is, well, how do we get this heart? How do we get a heart where we're really going after with our spirit, with our mind, and with our heart? How do we get that? Turn over to Acts 17. Right? Again, transition. How do we get this spirit and truth? How do we get this heart and mind? Right? Well, let's see how the Bible tells us how to get that. How do we truly worship God with spirit and truth? Acts 17. Let's have, I'm going to mix it up a little bit. Let's have a sister read. Who like to read? Come on, sisters.
Come on, sister.
Who like to read? Come on, baby.
Okay,
good. I'm giving all the sisters a chance to read, too. Come.
As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women,
amen,
and many Greek men.
Hey, men, see, is it perfect that we had a sister read right there?
Yeah.
Guys, the church is for all.
Amen.
Now here's what's interesting. Ajibola, what do you see here? What do you see here about the heart of a Berean? Well, it says that they had a noble character. Actually, it compared their character to other Christians in another city. It says they had a more noble character than the Thessalonians. So hold on a second. The Bible compared one Christian's heart to another Christian's heart?
Yeah.
Yeah. It does. And it says they were more noble What does the word noble mean? Better, like a noble man, a better man than a peasant, right? Well, why do they have a better character? The Bible says here, why? For they receive the message with what?
Great eagerness.
Great eagerness and what?
Examine
the scriptures every Sunday, right?
Every day.
Okay, Ajibola. So it's interesting here. We just talked about we need to worship God in spirit and in truth, right? How do we do that? The Bible says here, what? They receive the message with great eagerness. Does that sound like heart right there?
Yeah.
And examine the scriptures. There's the mind, right? Every what?
Day.
How do you get a heart that truly wants to worship God in spirit and truth? You got to get into the scriptures every day. Eagerly, the 3E challenge. Eagerly examine every day. Is this what you're doing, Ajibola? See, after every scripture, you got to ask the question, is this what you're doing?
Yeah.
Very important. If you're not asking that question, then you're just giving them information. You've got to get people in contact with where they are at. Otherwise, they just become religious. They know, but they're not living it. Do you see the difference? Like I said on Sunday, the difference between teaching and preaching, preaching is the expectation of obedience. Teaching is just, okay, I give you information. Right? How's it going for us, guys? We have to turn the ACs on again. Every time it does that, it automatically turns them off. So, key thing here is, how about for us? Ajibola, have you been eagerly examining the scriptures every day?
Oh, wow. You know, honestly, I just read the Bible on Sunday when the preacher reads it to me.
But I thought you said you were seeking God with all your heart.
All right.
But I guess I'm not. See, you gotta go there. You can't claim to seek God with all your heart and read your Bible once a week. I'm sorry, you're not even reading your Bible, you just listen to what the pastor says and you're following along. That's not Bible study. That's not eagerly examining the scriptures. How about for us, disciples? How's it going with our daily Bible study?
Yeah.
Did you have a quiet time today? I'm not going to have you raise your hand and embarrass you if you haven't. But I think we have to really ask ourselves, are we really seeking God with all
our
hearts?
Come on, Andrew.
Because if we're being hypocritical, people will see that.
Yes, yeah.
And you will not be able to teach with conviction
Come
on, bro.
If you're not doing it yourself.
Yeah.
Do you follow me? Disciples, funny enough, the Spirit of God, it kind of convicts you. When you're not doing something, you're usually probably not going to challenge somebody else to do it because you don't want to be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
There's something about it, I just don't want to challenge you because I'm not doing it myself. And this is big for those of you who are married to non-Christians. Because who you are at home, they're watching you. Are you with me?
Yeah.
They're watching it. They want to see, is this real? Is this some other church I just had? Some nice stuff. Or are you really who you are? Because who you are at home is who you are.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, that's the challenge for me, bro. Ajibola, I want to challenge you. Let's get into the Word of God. Eagerly examine the Scriptures every day. Go after it so that you can truly worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
Because the funny thing is, the amazing thing is, when you study the Bible like that, turn them on again. When you study the Bible like that, you find out God's plan for your life. Let me show you the scripture. Turn over to Jeremiah 29.
All right.
Come on.
You see how? Straight to the next one. Transition. These transitions are very important.
Yes.
And for those of you who've taught these scriptures, the studies before, it's always helpful to learn unique transitions to guide them. You're leading them along with you. Jeremiah 29. And of course, you should know where Jeremiah 29 is. If you don't, amen, prayerfully by next week, you will. Actually, no, you won't, but you'll get there eventually by the next following week. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14. Now, let's have Ajibola. Let's have Ajibola stand up, please, and read for us. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 14. I like having the person read this one.
Amen.
You know, I like having the study read it, because like, ooh, yeah. For I know the plans I have. Okay, sorry. Yes, please. Ajibola, please read.
29,
please. Chapter 29, verse 11. It's okay. No, hey. No laughing.
Yeah, sure.
Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 14. Very good. Come on, bro. You got it.
For I know the plans I have for you.
Amen.
Declare the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
Amen.
I will be found by you, declare the Lord.
Amen.
And we bring you back from captivity.
Very good. Thank you, Ajibo. Right? Now, key aside here, something to be aware of. You want to be able, Ajibo did a good job reading there, but for you, when you read the scriptures, you want to be able to read the scriptures. Like, review the scriptures. Right? It shouldn't be the first time you're reading them. Right? When the person who hasn't read the Bible before reads them, okay, that's fine. But when you're reading them, you should be smooth.
Yeah.
Right? Because you want them to know that you know this. And that's why you're able to teach it. You follow me? Okay, so review the study. Ajibola, thank you very much. Now looking at this, what do you see, Ajibola? What do you see about what God's plans are for you? What does he want for you? Well, first of all, it says God has plans for me. And to be honest, I haven't really thought about that. I haven't thought about the fact that God has plans that actually supersede my plans. Isn't that remarkable? Like, I think sometimes we think we have plans and God's like, oh, well, I'm just gonna, you know. But God is like, I have plans for you that are greater than your plans. Plans to what? To prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, the challenging thing is that sometimes we don't believe that.
Yeah. True. Come on.
Let's just be honest. Do you believe that, Ajibola, all the time?
I'll be honest. With this job I have, not really.
Well, the Bible says, in order for God to do this, what do you have to do? It says in verse 13, we have to seek God with all of our hearts. For God to be able to fulfill the plan that he has for us. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot trying to seek God and expect God to bless you. Can you be married if you're one foot in your marriage and another foot in the world and expect your marriage to be blessed? And so, it's interesting here, God's like, hey, if you seek me, I'll bring you back from captivity. Now, of course, this is referring to the Jews in exile here. But for us today, in a lot of ways, we are also in captivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
See, now you're helping the Old Testament apply to today. So, Ajibola, what would you say are some ways that Satan can hold you captive today? Mm-hmm. See, from the seeking God study, you can actually even get into sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
From the seeking God study, you're inviting them to church, kingdom. From the seeking God study, you're inviting them to get open about their sin.
Yeah.
From the seeking God study, you're putting in all these little things to make them start thinking. Mm-hmm. You see how deep this stuff can get?
Yes.
Yeah. And so here, what are some things that are captive? As you think about that, Jabola, let me share about for you. You know, for me, what are you doing? What am I doing by doing that? I'm saying, why don't you meditate on that while I now share and give you an example so that now you'll be more emboldened to actually be honest and share.
Yeah.
See, there's wisdom behind this. Okay, so you say, well, why are you meditating on that? Let me share with you. You know, for me, before I became a disciple, I mean, I was captive to sexual morality. I mean, honestly, I lost my virginity in college, and to be honest, every study partner was a female, every study partner I slept with. I'm grateful I did not get some STD or get some girl pregnant. To this day, I'm grateful. I was a slave to my pride, my deceit, masturbation, and usually around this time, people would be like, they start looking at you like, because they're shocked. That someone would be this open with them at the Seeking God study.
Right.
Now, of course, you don't get into all the detail, you know, but you can be honest and say, hey, this is where it's at.
Yeah.
These are the things that I was kept. I didn't honestly think I could overcome these things.
Yeah.
And now, let me tell you, 17 years later, I haven't looked at pornography or masturbated in 16 and a half years. This is where some guy's like, you're mad. That's a lie. You mean to tell me you have not looked at pornography or masturbated in 16 times? Yes, it's true. It's by the grace of God.
That's right.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You can overcome too. You can be let go of that captivity.
Right.
And you also cannot be a slave to lust.
Amen.
A slave to what people think of you. A slave to all these things.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
You see how you can start to preach, right? But you don't preach too much. You gotta add your bowl in. So I just want, and you know, maybe other guys may want to share. And of course, during this time, I'm kind of doing it without your bowl, but during the study, you may have different people share.
Yeah.
You know, one person share this round, another person share that round. You see what I'm saying? Get everyone involved. Ajibola, what about you? What are some sins that can hold you captive? Well, you know, after you said what you said, it's quite a few sins. Lust. I think lust is a big one for me. You know, the problem stop right there. I'm like, I understand what that means. Okay, so lust, anything else? Well, you know, honestly, drugs. I mean, I've been smoking a lot of marijuana. And, you know, I've been smoking marijuana since college. I smoke, you know, just to take the edge off. So what are you doing now? Put that down. Yeah. What? You're gonna have to deal with that later. You with me here?
Yeah.
Right? See, guys, what are you doing? From seeking God, you're learning about sin. You're learning how to help them later.
Yeah.
You're learning who to connect them with that may have similar issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you understand, guys,
yeah,
how deep this can be to convert hearts and build and get everyone involved?
Yeah.
But I want to encourage you, Ajibola. You can overcome. Like I overcome, by the Spirit of God, you too can overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And so the challenge now is, how much do you really want this? How much do you really want to go? Because it's not going to be easy to seek God with all your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain to you. Let me give you a case study of someone who's really seeking God with all their heart. Take a look at Acts chapter 8. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, usually I'll read this one. Because it's a little lengthy, so I'll kind of read this one.
Yeah.
I know this is how we read it too, but I like to kind of hit it. It says here in verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south of the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasure of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way, sad and depressed that his good friend that he just met had left him.
No.
Is that what it says?
No,
it says, went on his way, rejoicing. You know, I'll do that sometimes in a Bible study to see if people are paying attention.
Yeah.
It's good. It's not an easy thing to keep people's attention.
Yeah.
You have to be creative.
That's right.
You know? And so, Ajibola, what do you see here? Wow, this is a pretty fantastic story. It's good to see an African in the Bible, huh?
Yeah,
yeah, that's true, Ajibola. Okay. Do you have friends who are Ethiopians? Yes, I have a good friend who's Ethiopian. You know, I have a good friend who's Ethiopian too. My friend Tamru. He's in Addis Ababa. Okay, that's good. You have people in other countries who are your friends? Oh yeah, they're part of our fellowship. We're part of an international fellowship.
Oh.
Yeah, he's in Ethiopia. We have friends down in South Africa. We're from, Abidjan. Really? So your church is not just like a church of just here in Nigeria? No. Part of an international fellowship. Over 70 churches all over the world. Really? Wow, that's pretty awesome. You see?
Yeah.
Everything you do, you're helping the people a little taste of the power of God's kingdom. Right?
Now, over time, again, don't, you're not going to be able to make, do it as smoothly as what I'm doing now. Because you, over time, you'll learn how to do this. Okay. So right here, well, what do you see? The first thing you see here is that the eunuch was willing to sacrifice. To seek God, you've got to be willing to sacrifice such a boy. Take a look at this. Here's this guy. First of all, Philip, this guy, God, that angel tells him to just go start walking down this road. This desert road is actually 60 miles long. He just said, start walking. He didn't tell him where to start walking to. He just said, start walking. So then Philip goes, and because he's a disciple, what does he do? He reaches out, he shares his faith to this guy, Ethiopian eunuch. Now, what was a eunuch? A eunuch, of course, we know, is a man who's what?
Castrated.
Been castrated, right? So this is powerful because this guy was in charge of all the treasure pans. He was the financial minister of Ethiopia. So can you imagine the guards that were with him? Like in today's vernacular, you would have, he'd be in a limo with security cars, jeeps, all this stuff around him. And what does Philip do? Philip sees this guy and he runs up to him. Now, what's interesting, that took a lot of, you can do a whole study on Philip, but that's, we don't have time for that tonight. This guy, though, had gone to Jerusalem to worship. From where?
Ethiopia.
So he's traveling now 1,500 miles just to worship. How far do you travel to worship, Ajibola? Well, you know, we're redeemed. They're trying to do places every 5 minutes. Every 5 miles or 5 minutes, I think, they're trying to have a place.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay. Well, makes it pretty easy, huh? Well, this guy, to see God, he was willing to travel 1,500 miles.
All right.
Now, funny enough, if you do a deeper study of it, you find out that this guy couldn't even get past the main gate because he was castrated.
That's right.
Which means that Deuteronomy 23, 1, talks about, and I know you like studying Bible, so I'm going to give you this little nugget right here. But he couldn't even get in because he was emaciated or castrated.
Yeah.
Castrated, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Because by cutting or whatever, he could not even get in. So it was like he traveled all that way just to be outside.
Yeah.
That's how much he was seeking God. Would you do that? Would you travel 1,500 miles?
Yes.
Just to stand outside the place of worship and be grateful you're there?
Right.
Talk about sacrifice, right? Yeah. Then, now he's on his way home, he's reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Now that tells you something, this guy was rich. Because back then they didn't have like, they had like scroll, you know, they had scrolls, but serious, a book, it says books, it was a codex form. Normally you'd have to go to the synagogue to read it.
Yeah.
This guy was rich enough to have his own. So now, he's there reading it. The Spirit tells Philip, go to this chariot. Philip is courageous. He runs up to the chariot. I can only imagine security like, who is this? Right? And he says, do you understand what you're reading? I would challenge you guys. If you see someone reading their Bible, I'm not sure if you've ever seen people reading their Bible. But if you see people reading their Bible, do you understand what you're reading? How do you think they would respond to that? What?
What?
Who are you?
Yes.
What is your name? Right? No, the truth of it is that they'll be like, they'll be prideful. They'll be like,
yeah.
Do you understand what you're reading? But what do you see here? The second thing about seeking God is humility. You see his sacrifice, but now you see his humility. He was willing to allow some random stranger to come up to him and teach him the word. He actually invited him up into his chariot. And that's why, Ajibola, I'm so grateful to be here with you. I'm so humble that you would allow me to be able to share this with you. Again, encouraging, building up, right? And so, thanks, bro. So then, from there, soon to be real. And then, what do you see? It says here, he's reading this passage of scripture, and it's, who's it talking about?
Jesus.
But obviously, Philip had to know his Bible enough to know Isaiah, to know he was talking about Jesus. So then, he begins the scripture, tells him, and then what happens next? They go to some water. The eunuch said, look, here is water. Why should I be baptized? Well, that's interesting, because that means that the good news of Jesus must have included baptism.
Yeah.
For the eunuch to be able to say, why shouldn't I get baptized? Right?
Yeah.
Then it says, both Philip and the eunuch, he sprinkled him on his head like the Catholics do, and now he's good to go, right?
No.
We're good to go.
No.
No, what does it say? He was fully submerged, right?
Yes.
Then it says, Spirit of the Lord, so he took him away. So what you see here, to see God, you need to be sacrificial, you need to be humble, but you also need to be obedient.
That's right.
Because here, this guy could have said, you know what? I know we're traveling in the desert. Let me go back to Ethiopia and get baptized in some nice lavender-scented pools. That'd be nice. But what does he say? Well, I see a pool over there. I don't know if I... What is that camel doing in it? But there's water right here. Listen, I gotta get right. So baptize me, please. See, when you're seeking God, you're willing to obey.
That's real.
It's not about, oh, is it convenient for you? Is this nice? Right? And then obviously, he goes on with great rejoicing. So, Ajibola, for you, which of these three would be the toughest for you in seeking God? Is it sacrifice? Is it humility? Or is it obedience? Because the good news is, if you get it, you'll be rejoicing. You know, Pastor Andrew, gosh, honestly, I think it's sacrifice. Sacrificing my time, sacrificing just efforts, you know. I'll be honest with you, I want it easy. And even the sad thing is, even though I have it easy, I still don't go after it with all my heart. Well, maybe that's because you're not really seeking God. Looking at all this, you've got to ask yourself, does this describe your heart? This is a case study of someone seeking God. Does this describe you? And let that just sink right there. Let it just meditate on that. But is this what you want to do? Yes, I do. I want to repent. I want to do what's right. I didn't know about this baptism stuff, to be honest. I just thought you said a prayer, a sinner's prayer, and you were good to go. That's what they teach every day. So I just thought I'm good. Well, you know, the Bible, I think, will make a lot of things clear to you. Right? You don't say, aha, exactly. You need to repent about this right now. For your forgiveness of your sins. No. You know, the Bible will make that clear to you too. We're going to do a whole Bible study on what it means to be saved.
Amen.
You see how you just slowly, you don't just slowly, just bring them in. Right? And the good news is, I believe that with all my heart, we're here to help. So let's close on out here. Let's have Tony. Tony! Oh, you just walked. Come on in, Tony. Come on, Tony. Welcome. Matthew chapter 7. I'm just messing. So, Tony, now let's read Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. We're going to close out here. Yes.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. So, Ajibola, this is the challenge for you. If you're going to seek God with all your heart, you really need to go after it with all your heart. I would encourage you, like, get into really eager examining the scriptures every day. Start studying. Have you been reading the Bible daily? Well, no. I told you. I just read it on Sundays. Well, why don't you get into the Gospel of John? And as you start studying, ask God, pray, God, give me wisdom. So ask us, write down questions you may have. Let's talk about it. Ask and it will be given to you. If you're seeking God with all your heart, God will make it clear to you. Is this something you want to do? You know, Pastor Andrew, this has been very helpful. I want to take your challenge to ego examine the scriptures every day. And I'm going to start studying John. I'll start studying John. Yeah, study a couple chapters every day. And if you have any questions, write it down. Let's talk about it. Let's get into the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so, brothers, any other thoughts, questions? I just want to say thank you for coming. I mean, I really appreciate just getting to know you. And I'm excited to build a friendship with you, man. I mean, what are you doing this week? Are you free? You want to come out with me? We're going to go hang out, check out a movie. Oh, really? You guys hang out? Yeah, we hang out. We do more than just study the Bible with people. Yeah. Let me get your number. I want to make sure I get your number so we can call. Any questions you have, let's talk. What are we doing, guys?
Building friendships. Building relationships.
It's not just read the Bible. Okay, bye now. You're not just giving information, you're transferring the heart.
Amen,
amen, guys?
Amen.
And that is the seeking God. Oh, what did we forget?
Prayer.
We forgot something else. Amen. So now what do you do?
Amen.
I thought I almost had you for a second. Now, what do you do? So, now, Ajibola, would you like to study again? Yeah, this is great. Well, the next study is called the Word Study, and we see what the Bible has to say for itself and the things that can really pull us away from the Bible. Wow, that sounds great. Okay. Well, when are you free? Well, you know, can we meet, next week this time?
No.
No, you don't say. If he says that to you, you don't say, no. Why do you want to wait a week? You don't say that. Instead, you say, well, you know what? What about tomorrow? Like around this time? Are you free? You know, fair enough, I am. I can do tomorrow. See, that's how people think. They think that it's a weekly thing. Right? But you're like, no, let's do tomorrow. What are they doing? Right? Let's get together tomorrow or Thursday. Right? And that's how you set it on up. Amen, guys. Let's close out with a prayer. Awesome. All right, so remember next time, as we close out with prayer, just a reminder, next week, the quiz will be on the Seeking God study. You need to know the Seeking God study. Know the key elements of it, right? And you need to know the memory scriptures. So the Seeking God study, you need to know the memory scriptures, right? Jeremiah 29, Matthew 6:33, and you need to know the Old Testament books from Genesis to 2 Chronicles. Amen, guys? Amen. Let's close it out with a prayer. Let's see. I'll close that one. Amen, let's pray. Father God, again, we just, let's stand on up, guys, stand on up. Father, we adore you for your word. We adore you for, God, how you, your spirit is working in the hearts of men and women. Even now, God, even now, you are determining the times and places for people to be able to reach out to you. And God, I pray that even now, God, you'll just lead us to them. Mm-hmm. Lead us to the men and women who desire to seek you with all of their hearts. God, I pray for all the disciples here tonight. That this study is not just another review, but rather a time where we kind of reflect on our own walk with you. And we really ask ourselves, wow, if someone were to ask me whether I'm seeking God in a range of 1 to 10, what would I say today? Would I be an example to be able to teach your word? Amen. God, I pray that this week we'll find someone to do the Seeking God study with. God, I pray that this week we'll find someone who will come out to church and be inspired by your word and decide to go after you with all their heart. We love you more than life itself, God. Help us to get home safely tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. You are dismissed. Ladies, don't